Last week, we embarked on a series about the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. We called last week's message, God is in your midst. And this is, are you ready for the title? God's in your midst, part two. Can you say that with me? Man, wow, there's the weighty part of the morning right there. Please watch this next sentence with me and say it with me, would you? The issue in life isn't what pleases us and makes us comfortable, but what does He want? How can we live to please Him? There are four reasons to come to church. You know them. Four reasons. One, get information. Hopefully, by the time we're done here this morning, you will have grown in gaining some information. But how many know that's not enough? You can sit home with a computer, get information. So what we also hope to find out at church is and receive is what? Inspiration. We want to be inspired to live in a better way for Him, to do what He's called us to do, to listen. But it's not enough to just be inspired. One can be inspired by public speaking and politics. Well, not this year, but you can be inspired by some great things. But that's not necessarily what we're after. It's good, but there's also impartation. So we raise our hands to Jesus, and He's extended His hands to us. And as He blows on us with His Holy Spirit, there's an impartation of His presence. How many want more of Jesus? You know, remember the old song? We're pulling some old songs out of the vault. Remember the old song, I want more of Jesus? More and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I ever had before. I want more of Jesus. Bottom line, last line says, so I give Him more of me. Now, when we surrender, we give Him our lives. And then we find out He wanted more than we thought. When they came to Jesus in Corinth, it was one thing to get Jesus into the Corinthian. It was an entirely different story to get the Corinthian out of the Corinthian, to get Corinth out. But even having impartation isn't always enough, church. You can receive an impartation from the Lord and go and have lunch, having had a nice experience. But I want number four, transformation. I want to be transformed, to be more like Him than ever. I want Him to take His liberty in my life. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. I don't know if you are. I'm grateful by His grace. But I know there are a lot of ways I need to be more like Jesus. Think like Him, talk like Him, act like Him. When my brother told me this morning, yeah, you're kind of like Mom, I went, oh my gosh, I repent. It wasn't exactly how he said it, but listening through different ears, I heard that, oh my God, have mercy. My mom was a very loving, Spirit-filled Christian and had an amazing final conversation with Jesus for an hour and a half as Brad sat by her side as she dialogued back and forth with Jesus. If I can be like my mom in that way, to dialogue with Him in such a way, I'll be grateful. But I know I want to keep changing. I want to keep growing. Keep Your work up, Lord. Don't let me go. Don't let me turn to the right or to the left. I want to be like Jesus. I want to hear You. I want to see You. I want to know You. And if You're moving in such a way, I want to smell You. I want Your healing hands. And I just plain want to love You better. But thank God for grace, huh? Yeah. Thank God for grace. Thank God it's not all up to me. Thank God it ain't up to me except to choose to cooperate, right? It's up to Him. But let's talk this morning about how God calls us to praise and worship. Say it with me. God calls us to praise and worship. You're not created for your own pleasure. Come on, I want to be happy. Okay, I hope you're happy. I do. I want to be happy. So all across the planet, people leave their spouses because they're going to be happy. And people cut away and run from commitments because they're going to be happy. And people leave God because, after all, that suffering experience I went through didn't make me happy. But the goal isn't necessarily my being happy. I think the Lord rejoices when I'm happy. Don't you?
Sure.
Yeah. Do you rejoice when I'm happy?
Yeah.
Thank you. But the goal isn't, my happiness. The goal is, what makes Him happy? See, the Scripture says in Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord," reading from the King James, "to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou," you, "have created all things." How many in this room qualify as a thing in this verse?
Yeah.
You created all things. "And for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. Therefore, if the Master created us, then what we need to do is learn how to please the Master who created us." We've talked before, you have an owner's manual in your car. If you take that car home and you don't do one thing according to its instructions, it might be very happy to sit there and never get gas. It might be very happy to sit there and never get oil. It might be very happy to sit there on our Western Washington cloudy days and sunny days and dusty days. But guess what? It's going to be happy for a short period of time. But if I learn how to operate it according to the owner's manual, then I'm going to have a car that will endure and last and help me. We talked last week about never being embarrassed to worship Him freely, loudly, quietly, standing, kneeling, sitting, praising, hands upraised. All of this in the Bible. Psalm 22, verse 3 tells us, "You are holy, you who are enthroned." What is that word? Enthroned. What is the word enthroned? A throne. Enthroned. He's on His throne. What? Upon the praises of Israel. Zephaniah 3:17, we referred to last week. "The Lord your God in your midst, a victorious warrior, He will exult over you with joy. He'll be quiet in His love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." How many are glad He's shouting over you right now, going, "Praise God, I love my son, I love my daughter. Wow!" God's up in the heavens going, "Wow, they're great stuff." Because they want to worship Me. And then out of the New King James, that's the New American Standard, but out of the New King James says it a little differently. I use these various translations because it gives us some further understanding of what that verse means. "The Lord your God in your midst, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He'll rejoice over you with singing." Man, oh man, now that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ever wonder what kind of song He's singing over you? You hope it's not a bad one? You hope it's one of the greatest oldies or newies or whatever? But don't you, I don't know how to even talk about it. Isn't that exciting? He's singing over you right now. Well, He's kind of singing over me right now. Get your hand off the microphone. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Now, you guys, this isn't only the Old Testament. The revival God wants, watch this. The revival God wants is a worshiping and singing revival. The songs we mostly sing were birthed out of times of revival and rejoicing in the Spirit. The songs, the gifts of the Spirit, the declarations of God are all a part of His presence. Watch it in the New Testament out of Revelation 14, 2 and 3. A lot of scriptures this morning. The New American Standard Bible. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters. You ever stood next to a thundering waterfall? What did it sound like? Thunder. Loud?
Yes.
Many waters. The sound of loud thunder. The voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. Out of the New American Standard, they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who'd been purchased from the earth. And a voice came from the throne saying, "Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great." Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns." Church, the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Come on, church. The Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. He reigns. He's in charge. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for reigning. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing this morning, it is not bigger than Jesus. The Lord your God sings over you. The Lord your God rejoices over you. The Lord your God is a reigning King of Kings. Hallelujah. I don't know how you're sitting down right now. I can't. Praise God, we worship you, Lord. Isn't he worthy? Isn't he worthy? Come on, church, isn't he worthy? Come on, turn to each other. Boom it out right in their ear. Wake them up. Say, "He's worthy." Now you can turn back to your neighbor and say, "You don't have to be so loud." Well, pastor told us to. He's worthy. Our praise and worship will last through eternity. Instruments are playing, loudly rejoicing. Kneeling, crying, standing. Actually, it says there's no more tears. We'll kneel, we'll rejoice. Your position of praise, prayer matters in the scriptures. I want to say it again. Listen, if there's a physical affliction, no problem at all. We understand the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. We try to be gentlemanly as well. But if you can, when we're standing, stand before the Lord. Give him a declaration of praise. You see in the Old Testament where they stood for 8 hours, quarter of the day, six hours, as they stand before the Lord to hear the word of God. So we're going to do something new now in church. But the Bible says, have a heart to praise and worship. God calls us to praise and worship. Then God calls us to victory in praise and worship. Do you know the devil has to flee from praise and worship? Now listen, the devil has to flee. The devil cannot live in the midst of praise and worship. If you are in the midst of temptation and you feel like the devil is on your back, tell him to get lost in Jesus' name. Lift up your voice and begin to praise Jesus. Come into the house of God. Join in with praise and worship. Let others stand with you, surround you, strengthen you, and pray for you as you begin to praise him. There's victory. God is in you, the Bible says. Psalm 47, 5 and 6. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you're taking notes. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want you to zero in on verse 5 and verse 7, or 15 and 17 and verses 21 to 22. I don't have it up here, but 15, 17, 21 and 22. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where Jehoshaphat sent the praisers out first into battle. He sent them first into battle. Verse 15, the Lord says to his people when they're crying out to him, "Don't be afraid, the battle is the Lord's." Verse 17, "You won't need to fight. Salvation is of the Lord." Verse 21 and 22, they began to sing and praise the Lord. And the scripture says, "And he set ambushments among the enemy, and they were defeated." Do you know the devil cannot stand before praise and worship? Somebody say, thank God. Thank God. Psalms, the songbook. God loves to live in praise. When you come to the New Testament, did you know the apostles quote the Old Testament 695 times? And they quote other sources 4 times? It was their teaching book, their living principles. The living principles. Victory in praise and in worship. Point number 3. What victory in times of turmoil? In spiritual warfare, praise and worship Jesus. Number 3, the tabernacle of David. Let's talk about it just briefly this morning. Now, David, King David, knows full well that at Shiloh, the tabernacle of Moses was erected. King David had it in his heart to make a great temple or a great structure for the Lord, and God wouldn't let him build it. But God gave him the plans that he left with his son Solomon. But the ark had been elsewhere, and David wanted to retrieve it. Now, we read the passage in Scripture that David blew it the first time and carried the ark. Instead of on the Levites' shoulders, they put it on a new cart, new man-made object. And God says, I want my presence borne by my people. I want you to carry the ark of the covenant. But when David got that ark, as they worshiped before the Lord, he brought the ark back to his city and put it in an open tent. People worshiped 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He set up worshipers and singers. He made 4,000 instruments of worship. Can you imagine the cacophony of sound and the praise and the worship? Church wasn't necessarily first for the person. It was for God. And when we gather to worship Him, to strengthen each other, to receive His presence, but to worship Him. You were created, Revelation 4:11, to give Him worship, to give Him pleasure, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, you go, but Kevin, that's Old Testament. Watch what it says in the New. After these things, Acts 15, verses 16 and 17, I will return, and I will rebuild the what? The tabernacle of David, which has fallen. And I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. The Spirit of God was poured out in the early church at the day of Pentecost, and the city of Antioch was full of Gentile and Jew together, worshiping God as they saw a fresh New Testament restoration of the tabernacle of David. And God is still moving through the generations to try to raise up people who will worship Him. The Bible says God is seeking worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. God seeks such to worship Him. Is that you? Is that me? The tabernacle of David. So when David brought the ark back to Jerusalem, he appointed and financed 4,000 Levites for the express purpose of praising the Lord with a musical instrument he had provided. David made first and foremost, and this isn't even in my notes, this is for free, a heart of giving for the Lord. If, now I'm going to say this very gently, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, but I want you to know a truth. There's a principle of the Word of God. If you do not give tangibly of your resources, of your life, of your service, you cannot expect the freedom in your own life for God to bring the breakthrough you desire. God is longing for His people to worship Him. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Now, here in this church, we don't pass a plate. You want me to start? serve you. You're going, no, thank you. We don't do that. That's not what we do. You know why? Because we have the offering boxes in the room, and you give as an act of worship before the Lord. And that's what we believe in. But the principle said it all the way into the scriptures. And you see the principle of tithing and giving way back before the law of tithing. And it continues into the New Testament where, you know, remember in the Gospels it says, you know, you need to tithe legalistically of your anise, your cumin, et cetera, and all these kinds of things. And Jesus said, yeah, you should have done all these things, but not leave the other undone. And the other he was referring to was the heart attitude. He says, these things you should do with the right heart. And the right heart of praise and worship is a surrendered heart of giving to the Lord. Someone say amen or oh no. God's good. God's good. How many are glad I'm moving off that point? God wants to release. God wants to release his fresh flowing river. And we want to be a part of what he's doing. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm not even talking about specifically. I'm just saying I know that the principle of God is true. And if we'll live according to his word, he will bless. How many want to be blessed in the Lord?
Yes.
Stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. Say it with me. Stir up the gift of God. Again, stir up the gift of God. Some say, if God wants me to have it, he'll force it on me. He'll put it on me. But God's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never force himself upon you. But he's looking for you and me to want him and his Spirit. Watch what the Bible says, the book of Acts. And they being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded his disciples not to depart from Jerusalem. This is just before the ascension. But to wait for the promise of the Father. What's the instruction? To
wait.
Okay. To wait. Now, the problem is, in English, that sounds like a very passive word, does it not? Okay, I'll just wait for you. Do your thing. I'm just waiting. Is that what they were doing? Let's see what they were doing. Which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, but you shall, out of King James, receive power. New King James, receive power. Dynamite, dunamis is the Greek word. You'll receive dynamite power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. They had already been breathed upon, but he says something more is coming when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. The Greek word is martus. How many know what that is? What was it? I'm sorry, what was it? There's an exciting word. Now, I'm going to make another point. We'll come to an end in about 3 more hours, so don't worry. I am grieved, as you are, with our political system and the chaos that is loosed in our land. And I'm crying out to God for his mercy on our land. But I want you to know something. We have spoken for years and generations of church as we have been together about being ready. The Bible, the New Testament, was written to Christians in a time where they had a horrendous government over them. The Romans were not everybody's nicey-nice folks. And we have grown up in a liberty for which we are grateful. Millions have shed their blood and fought and died on our behalf. And we remain ever vigilant and ever grateful for our military men and women today. And those of you in this room who have served and everyone else. And I think it is shameful to allow every one of those liberties to erode away at the moral of today that has lost its moorings from the Word of God. It is a shameful thing. We need to stand as strong Christians, and we need to vote for life. We need to vote for that which is righteous. And you look at me and go, can't see it there. It's huge. It's a big issue. But I want to say this. If things change, and our government is no longer favorable, and our climate is no longer favorable, we must be ready to stand. Li has lived through in China the difficulties of not having a country favorable for the gospel. She stands here courageously smiling at everybody today as a wonderful saint. But it's not always easy. She stands with courage. We know what it's like. Billy and Debbie have been to China, and some of you have been to other countries where it hasn't been the liberty that we've had. Church, regardless, we need to stand in the Lord and be His witnesses to Him in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 13 and 14, chapter 1. When they had entered, they went up to the upper room. Now, we're talking about what does it mean to wait. When they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, the Simon, the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and I see Billy, I see Bobby, I see. Anyway, so the disciples were there. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. What does it mean? They continued to be earnest toward, to persevere, be constantly diligent in a place, to attend assiduously all the exercises, to adhere closely to. It was no casual thing. They were there, they were seeking, they were praying, they were continuing in prayer, worship, oratory. They were praying earnestly. They were in supplication, making petition, prayer, request. Oh, Jesus, fulfill exactly what you said you would do. We're waiting. We're believing. It's not casual. We're not slack back. We're pressing forward. What is it you want to do? We want to do what you want to do. They continued in that way. Webster's 1828 says, the 1828 dictionary of Webster's is magnificent, by the way. If you don't have it or you haven't Googled it, take a look at it. The Webster's 1828 dictionary is about a 50-pound book, typically, or you can get it online. But the first edition of Webster's was written as a way to understand further the words of the Bible, and it liberally quotes from the Scripture throughout his text. This word was meaning entreaty, humble, earnest prayer and worship, petition, earnest request. What does it mean to have supplication? Continued action. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Stir up the gift of God. Therefore, I remind you, it says in the New King James, stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, out of the message, and the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed. Keep that ablaze. Come on, say it with me. Keep that ablaze. One more time. Keep that ablaze. Summer after my sophomore year in college, I went to Alaska. The New England Fish Company was still in existence at that time, and I worked off of Cordova, Alaska, in a fish cannery. And the fish weren't running very heavily that year. We had 3 weeks where I worked on the cleanup crew after those stainless steel conveyor belts would carry the salmon in. It was an incredible experience. Everybody was working, and during those several weeks when the fish were really running, it was 21 hours a day, and then my job began. And so we were working nearly around the clock. We took breaks where I learned how to take a quick 15-minute power nap. And so what I still know how to do that. Anyway, take a power nap. Because if one scale of that fish would stay on that stainless steel belt, it would glaze over, set the timing off on everything. And one time they took me, I got to be very good friends with the, I learned two really important principles. I became a very good friend of the carpenter, because the carpenter was always busy. And I, you know, when you had 110 people running around looking for work, I was the carpenter's guy. And I was standing by his side. I wasn't learning how to work the tools. I was working the broom. He would saw one board. I was over there with the dustpan in the broom. Man, I cleaned it up. I had a job to do. Other people would come in there. I'd say, get out of here. It's my job. The other thing I learned to do is no matter how slow it is, no matter where you go over that whole cannery, you walk fast. Nobody questions you a bit. You walk fast. You know where you're going. You got something to do. I was just going to take a nap. No. You walk fast wherever you go. Anyway, so. But one particular time, the king salmon were running. Glorious, beautiful, big, huge. Hardly pick them up, but we were brutes. But what you'd have to do in order to treat the salmon is there was this substance that you would pour into the water and you'd stir. And you'd stir because you put a glaze on this salmon before you put it over on the stainless steel shelving and shove it into the deep freezer. And you'd stir and stir. And first time I did it, you know, they love to give you a bad time as a punk kid. So they say, go ahead, just stir. And so I'm sort of, yay, great. Start to stir. And about the third stir, go, turns into solid cement. If you don't work your head off, stirring this thing like, and it was so thick. And so you start off easy. You know, they pour a little in. Go, hey, no sweat. And then you keep pouring this huge thing in. I'll go, wait a minute, that's enough. And you go, no, the whole thing's got to go in there. You stir, and you're, oh, my gracious. And you got pretty good at getting those muscles going. But you had to keep stirring, or it became solid cement and hard. And you had to throw the whole thing out because you couldn't glaze that king salmon so it could go feed people. And the principle of God is to keep the gift of God inside of you stirred up so it doesn't become hardened of heart, dead like cement, where the rain of the Spirit just rolls off. Because what you're after is to please Him and feed His people with His presence. Say the verse again with me. And the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed. Keep that ablaze. Stir up the gift of God and let them say, surely, God is in your midst. Would you stand with me, and musicians, would you come, please? If you're here this morning and the Lord is speaking to your heart about desiring more of Him in this way, there'll be a team of people over here in these chairs to pray for you. If you've received the precious gifts of the Spirit in your life and you've allowed the stirring to stop, allow the Lord to pour into you afresh and keep stirring. Stir it up. That's not your works. That's cooperating with His work. If you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so. This is your day. He loves you so much. And we do too. We love Him and we're thankful for Him, aren't we, church? Lord, we thank You for being so good to us, so gracious to us. And thank You, Father, for coming and blowing upon us with Your Spirit. Let's close with Spirit of the Living God. Fall afresh on me again in the key of D. You're sure that God is good?
All the time.
How often?
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
God is good. Amen. And again, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Amen. Have a fantastic day in the